This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Israel crossed a red line when it made thousands of pagers and walkie-talkies blow up across Lebanon this week, says this man, Hassan Nasrallah, head of the Iran-backed militant group, saying there'll be retaliation. By setting up shell companies, Israeli intelligence actually had a hand in the manufacture of the personal electronic devices. That from an intelligence source to ABC News. The Hezbollah leader today says that the group's top leaders had old pagers, not the new ones. Touting higher employment and wages and lower interest rates and inflation, President Biden at the Economic Club of Washington.
I'm not here to take a victory lap. I'm not here to say a job well done. I'm not here to say we don't have a hell of a lot more work to do. We do have more work to do.
Campaign events today. Vice President Harris in a live stream with Oprah Winfrey and Donald Trump attending an event with prominent Jewish donors. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 24 people are hurt after a hay wagon accident. It happened in Chippewa Falls yesterday at an apple orchard. The sheriff said two tractors carrying people in wagons crashed into each other. More than 25 people were rushed to local hospitals there. People of all ages were hurt, including kids. Their injuries range from minor to life-threatening. And Governor Tony Evers will push for a record increase for the UW system when the next state budget rolls around, to the tune of over $800 million. It would be the largest increase ever for UW's budget. Data shows Wisconsin ranks 43rd in the nation when it comes to state funding to the university system.
That is not where we want to be, no matter where we are with numbers.
The $800 million request will go into Evers' biennial budget next year. Then the legislature will dig in. With elections this fall, the legislature may look different then, too. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Tonight's La Crosse County Board meeting has a few notable items on the agenda. One will be to decommission 14 watershed dams as part of a broader plan in the Cooley region to take dozens of failing dams offline to mitigate flood risk. A zoning item will add residential areas to the town of Holland, and the board will also consider a permit to allow for a solar array in the town of Greenfield. The board will also make several appointments and adopt a resolution to accept state funding for mental health services in the area. A man charged with homicide in La Crosse County is ruled not competent to stand trial. John Stumlin is accused of killing a 68-year-old man and trying to hide his body. He was arrested last month after being found in the man's residence on La Crosse's south side. The La Crosse County Circuit Court said Stumlin can't defend himself due to a mental illness and ordered immediate treatment and medication. He did not appear in court after refusing to attend the hearing. Stumlin was also aggressive with jail staff. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Brewers are playoff bound. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. Milwaukee clinched the NL Central and a playoff spot when the Chicago Cubs lost Wednesday afternoon. Then, the Brewers went ahead and beat the Phillies on a walk-off hit by Jake Bowers to cap off a huge day in Milwaukee.
And delivers. Swinging and a rocket to right. Base hit. They win.
Manager Pat Murphy said after the game that the team had to overcome adversity to win a championship.
No one in spring training would have said the Brewers will win the NL Central, except maybe a few guys in that room. And it just talks to one thing. This is a game about people.
There's more to play for now for the Brewers, who will take on Arizona for four games beginning tonight to wrap up a seven-game homestand. The Packers have quarterback Jordan Love back at practice, but head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is limited in his work this week. The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Severe thunderstorm watch continues for the area. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this evening, some severe, large hail the biggest concern. Partly cloudy overnight, low in the low 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, less humid, highs in the low 80s. It's 82 right now.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, my union buddy Earl Ingram Jr. will join me in studio. We'll talk about the lack of a Teamsters endorsement. Plus, can the GOP keep the government open? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the 3 o'clock hour, and that means it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money, because sometimes too much is just too much. I am so excited to have my next guest joining us all, Dr. Gabriela Sandoval. She is the executive director of the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute. It is indeed a disorder. So happy to have you, Dr. Sandoval. Thank you for making time.
Thank you for having me, Maggie. I'm really excited to join you all today.
Yesterday, on an episode of his new Netflix series, Bill Gates talked with Senator Bernie Sanders about billionaires. And Bill Gates said something that I hope everybody gets to hear about. He said that if he were designing the U.S. tax code, billionaires would have 70% less money than they have right now. I mean, he stopped short of saying it should not be legal for people to amass basically the wealth that in prior decades was reserved basically for countries, that it should be illegal for people to amass wealth that exceeds the GDP of many countries. And today we're continuing this discussion. Dr. Sandoval, can you first tell us what is excessive wealth and why did you all build an institution to study it and address it?
Absolutely. So at the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute, we define excessive wealth as existing when a person is able to exploit people, the planet, and political power to their benefit. So that's when wealth becomes excessive. So I'm not talking about the millionaire next door. I'm not talking about the, you know, self-made small business person that, you know, in our community. I'm talking about people who have about $50 million in wealth or more. And that's really about 300, maybe 350,000 people in this country. So they're exerting a type of pressure on every aspect of our lives, Maggie, not just our democracy. We love to talk about the disproportionate influence that the wealthy have on our democracy and our government. But the fact is, these folks impact every aspect of our lives. So we founded this organization to really begin to get at how do we address the corrosive impacts of excessive wealth, not just on our government, but in our lives. And the fact is that folks are really in the dark about how rich the really, really, really rich are, right? We can't really wrap our heads around what a billion actually is. Like, I don't actually think most people think $1 billion is 1,000 millions. And really the amount of time it would even take to spend that money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's next to impossible to spend that kind of money. There are only so many houses and cars and trips and rockets to outer space that one can build and consume. And so the billionaire with that wealth basically is incentivized to use the wealth to influence government.
Yes.
And frankly, at that level of wealth, someone asked me the other day, do you think billionaires are good or bad? And I said, from a sort of morality standpoint, and I said, listen, at that level of wealth, the concept of to those individuals of what is right and wrong has become sort of amorphous. What's right to them is increasing wealth and increasing influence, regardless of the impacts that it has on all of us. It's the very nature of wealth at that scale. You and the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute describe this cycle of excessive wealth. What is it? How does that work?
Yeah, so what we like to talk about is that it really begins with wealth extraction. And these are all the different ways that the system extracts wealth from communities with negative wealth. So people who are already in debt, right? Which are about 10% of the folks in our country are in pretty significant debt. So a lack of wealth, negative wealth, and then people with low wealth, which are really most of us. I mean, the vast majority of us don't have $1 million in wealth saved, you know, to provide opportunity for our families or to provide for us in case of a rainy day, right? And so so we really want to make sure that we're working to clarify that that is the situation that we're in.
Yeah, and the extraction of wealth, we've talked about stock buybacks, we've talked about stepped up basis, we've talked about all of these tricks of the trade. These tricks, folks, if you've got a couple of million bucks in your 401k, we're not talking about you.
Exactly.
Right? This is not middle class people trying to make it a little bit better for their kids. We're talking about people who can effectively, because apparently money is speech and corporations are people, buy elections as an individual.
Yes. And let me just say that most folks don't even know what the stepped up basis or stock buybacks are, right? So when I'm talking about wealth extraction, I'm talking about like increasing rents on everything, right? Increasing costs of food, increasing cost of debt itself, right? Like it's so expensive. And we live in really a kind of two-tiered system where the wealthy have access to certain types of loans and the rest of us have access to really to this having wealth extracted from our pockets. And also, you know, there are, so debt is one way, wages, a lack of getting paid, like most folks don't get paid a fair living wage. So first, we're looking at the way wealth is extracted, and then we're looking at the way that wealth is then hoarded. It's warehoused, it's defended. There's a whole industry, a whole armies of people who literally make their living by helping wealthy people hoard that wealth and make sure it doesn't get taxed, which is part of the reason that we see really wealthy people being taxed at a much lower rate than everyone else.
Yeah, because they can afford to buy the people to advocate for them to help shield their money from taxation. You were going to say another element of what you look at.
And then that third part of the excessive wealth cycle is that then once that wealth is amassed to a certain degree, we get to what you were talking about earlier, which is then that wealth takes our government captive. And we've got, you know, researchers who've shown that the impact of the excessively wealthy on our government, they have 67,000 times the impact on our government than we do. That's how much more influence they have than you and I. And so this is part of the reason why we see policies that are really popular among voters. A lot of times, you know, the vast majority of voters might be in favor of something, but if the excessively wealthy don't want it to happen, they have the resources and the influence to make sure that the will of the people is not heard.
It doesn't happen. It's that precise moment, right? The vast majority of Americans believe that reproductive freedom should be enshrined in our federal law. The vast majority of voters believe that childcare needs to be affordable, whether that is through subsidy or tax credits. The vast majority of people do not believe they are paid a fair wage. The vast majority of people are unable to save for a safe, secure, and dignified retirement. The vast majority of people who file bankruptcy do so because of medical debt. The vast majority of people struggling with student loans know that this isn't right. Consumer debt, right? Home ownership is a problem. And the obstacle to this is not whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. The obstacle to this are the obscenely wealthy, which is what I'm going to call it, the obscenely wealthy, who prevent all of us who know that we're getting screwed from applying the pressure through the voting process to bring about these changes. Fundamentally, that is anti-democratic, right? That there is a moment when the wealth becomes so extreme that it undermines democracy at its core.
And I'll just add one more thing to your list. The vast majority of people support a wealth tax.
Yes. It's why
there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to enact this.
Yes. It was interesting yesterday with our guest. We talked about how housing policy is tax policy, how even defending and securing our border is about tax policy, that we could do all of these things, whatever your number one issue is, we could address that and do so much more in service of the middle class, the backbone of our country's economy and the backbone of our country, full stop, if billionaires and corporations were paying their fair share. My special guest this half hour is Dr. Gabriela Sandoval. She's the executive director of the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute, joining me for today's installment of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. She was the former director of race and equity policy for TURN, the Utility Reform Network. She holds a PhD in sociology from Cornell University, as well as a master's degree in city and regional planning. I'm so happy to have her here. When we come back, we're going to talk about what are we doing to cure this excessive wealth disorder? It's so very, very important. We're going to talk about what we need to convince our elected officials and those that are running to be in elected office, and what we've got coming this next year in the tax policy fight. I'm going to say of a generation, right? Like the tax policy fight of 2025 may very likely define our democracy going forward. Very briefly, because we've got about a minute before we got to take care of some of our own business, what are a couple of things that you're working on to try to cure this excessive wealth, this obscene wealth disorder?
Absolutely. Well, one of the most important things we need to do is make the structure that allows excessive wealth to exist visible to everyday people, because most people simply don't understand or, you know, are so busy trying to survive that they can't see how excessive wealth impacts them.
So making it visible, you can go to taxtherich.org. That's an incredible little snippet. We'll give you more information about how you can check out the work that the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute is doing when we return after these brief messages with my very special guest, Dr. Gabriela Sandoval, the executive director of the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. Oh, it's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for The Todd Alba Show.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every day from 3 to 3:30, it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking about money, because so much of what happens in our political ecosphere is really about the money. And it's really about the very few people. I believe my guest this half hour, Dr. Gabriela Sandoval, said that there's about 370,000 individuals in this country that have wealth in excess of $50 million. These people have too much influence on all of our systems. If you feel like you've been getting screwed, it's very, very, very much about the tax code and the dodge that these excessively wealthy people engage in every tax year, and therefore the amount of influence that they wield over our policies and our politicians, frankly, regardless of party. Dr. Sandoval, the executive director of the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute, helping us understand that. Just a couple of facts, and then I want to talk about what can people do, how can they get involved, what do we seek to change. Here are some statistics, folks. 10 million U.S. households have negative wealth. What do you think the chances are that those people, you know, have their congressman on their speed dial? Zero. Zero chance. What do you think the chances are that the 370,000 individuals in this country with over 50 million in wealth have some congresspeople on their speed dial? I'll say it's about 100%. Here's another fact. Elon Musk's wealth, which is estimated to be $245 billion, is over 1 million times more than the median household wealth in the United States. He has a million more of whatever it is that you may or may not have. A million more times that. Timothy Mellon, this is a billionaire. He donated $165 million this political cycle. That should not be permitted, in my opinion. And the average CEO to worker pay ratio in the United States in 2022 was 344-1. This is the excessively wealthy. By the way, that same ratio in 1965 was 20. So Dr. Sandoval, again, thank you for being here and sharing your expertise with all of us. What should people do to get involved? What can we be doing to fix this problem?
Well, first of all, I think we need to educate ourselves. We need to really get a grasp on how this problem is impacting all of us. Because let's be real, Maggie, most people, if you talk to most people, they would say they would like to be billionaires.
Yeah.
Right? They would like to have tons and tons of wealth. And in fact, lots of people I talk to say, I'm going to be a billionaire one day. So there's a huge disconnect between what people think it takes to become a billionaire and what it actually takes to become a billionaire. So I think we have, you know, a lot of learning to do. And then I think, you know, one of the things, and I'll just do this real quickly with your listeners and with you. When you close your eyes and think about the things that keep you up at night, right? Like the things you worry about. I'm pretty sure those things are tied 9 out of 10 times. Those things are tied to the influence of the excessively wealthy in our society. And so let me just give you a few examples. Climate change. Climate change, the excessively wealthy have a massive carbon footprint. And not so long ago, a small room full of excessively wealthy people made some decisions that affect every single one of us. And these are folks involved in the fossil fuel industry in particular. They made some decisions that benefited their bottom line, but that are actually actively killing the rest of us. I don't know about you, but I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I worry that she's not going to make it to 50 years. We're going to begin seeing crop failures due to the decisions of a few handfuls of excessively wealthy people. Okay, so there's one thing. Now, that's a big thing, right? But let me say another thing. Maybe you have some listeners out there who are worried about the health of their dear pet Fido, right? Their little dog at home, they've had this dog for a long time. He's a real good companion. Veterinary care is now almost wholly monopolized by the excessively wealthy. We cannot escape this. You go to a museum, the art in that museum, guess who decided what's on those walls? 9 out of 10 times, excessively wealthy people. You're going to school, or your children are going to school, and most of the time, the curriculum that you're taught, controlled by excessively wealthy people. I could go on and on and on. And, you know, down to like really kind of everyday issues like the price of food, the price of gas, the things, you know, our ability to feed our families healthy meals. It's all influenced. Whether or not you can breathe clean air, whether or not you can find shade in, you know, during a heat wave in your hometown or green space. It's all impacted by the structure that enables excessive wealth. And so first, I want to encourage everyone to think about this. And it's really hard because we're all taught that if you work hard, you get wealthy. And it's actually not really true. So we really need to like question some of the myths we've been taught about how people get wealthy. And then we need to really start talking to the folks in power. You know, I've talked to lots of our local elected officials and state elected officials. And, you know, to your point earlier about who we have on speed dial, when I talk to them, they'll tell me my constituents come up to me at the grocery store or at the airport and they talk to me about the cost of healthcare or the cost of food. But nobody talks about the tax policy that they could actually exert influence over.
Yeah.
So we need to be talking to our elected officials about, hey, this system is rigged and you need to do something that helps us all share in the prosperity that exists in this country.
Couldn't agree with you more. If people want to do something about this, they can talk to their elected officials. Where can they find out more information about your work, Dr. Sandoval?
They can reach out to us via our website at excessivewealth.org.
Because here's the reality. If you are excessively wealthy with $50 million or more in your bank account, you probably worked hard, but you probably also abused your workers, took advantage of natural resources, used up our infrastructure, and abused the political process to get there. It is a problem. Thank you so much, Dr. Sandoval. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show.
Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The World Beef Expo starts tomorrow, and it coincides with the Harvest Fair at State Fair Park in West Allis. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and I'll have more details on that right after this.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/new era.
President of the World Beef Expo, Cody Quam, explains what people can expect for this year.
Well, we have 500 exhibitors with over 1,000 head of cattle coming from these 14 states to compete in the cattle judging. And that takes place starting Thursday afternoon and all day Friday for the open show, culminating with our Supreme Drive for Supreme Heifer, Supreme Cow-Calf, and Supreme Bull of the open show on Friday evening.
That's Cody Quam, president of the World Beef Expo, along with us. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
This past spring, thousands of farmers across the Central Corn Belt planted Whipple's hybrids on their farms. There was no public fanfare or social media hoopla, and they certainly didn't become TikTok famous, but they did become Whipple's famous. At Whipple's Hybrids, we celebrate our independent farmers who choose to keep their seed decision local and U.S. farm family owned. We can't promise 15 minutes of fame, but we're working on that extra 15 bushels an acre. Plant your independence with Whipple's Hybrids.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. And dry weather allowed for good progress on many field activities, including harvesting, corn silage, cutting hay, seeding winter wheat, and manure application. The recent crop progress and condition report released by the USDA showed that corn condition was 63% good to excellent, while soybean condition reigned at 62% good to excellent. Looking at our closing markets now, December corn closed at 412 and three quarters, up a quarter. November beans closed at 1014, that was up 8 cents. And December wheat closed at 575 and three quarters with no change. On the dairy side of things now, October Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2364 a hundredweight, that is down 26 cents. And November Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2285 a hundredweight, and that is down 36 cents. Barrel cheese closed at 262 and a quarter, that was up 5 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese closed at 224 and a half, that was down 3 and a quarter. And the double A butter closed down 8 cents and closed at 3.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Severe thunderstorm watch continues for the area.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms this evening, some severe, large hail the biggest concern. Partly cloudy overnight, low in the low 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, less humid, highs in the low 80s. It's 82 right now.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, orange man, losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the author and our colleague of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, an update on the Racing Sausage Lego set. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You don't own me. I'm not just one of yours.
is you don't own me. Don't say I can't go with other boys.
You don't own me. Say the women of these United States, the old Republican lawmakers who have decided to tell us what we can and cannot do about our health care. I say, and so does my very special next guest, who is running in the 8th Congressional District. So excited to have her back on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley. She joins Tom Paulswitz, my special co-host for this episode. Thanks so much for making time, Dr. Lierley. I'm so excited to have you. I'm calling it the Year of the Woman. Women are going to save America.
It is the Year of the Woman, especially when you look up at Northeast Wisconsin. We have more women running for the state seats in Northeast Wisconsin than men. People don't think that that is what Northeast Wisconsin is like, but I am telling you right now, this is a new Northeast Wisconsin.
Awesome.
I love it. Tom and I just finished up a discussion with Dr. Gabriela Sandoval about excessive wealth. And I find myself yet again looking at an election in the state of Wisconsin and yet again finding myself looking at a Republican candidate who has got stinking wealth, excessive wealth, running against a Democrat. And yet again, just like the race that Senator Baldwin is in, just like the race between Tony Evers and Tim Michaels, we've got another old rich dude who has never had any interest in public service, all of a sudden saying, well, I have all the answers. What do you make of all of this, Kristen, especially given your opponent's background?
I can't even imagine what it's like to be born with a silver spoon in your mouth, to be literally handed a business, to retire in your mid-40s, to go on vacation for a year, and then to decide, I'm going to do public service. It's not like Beach. You don't just do public service. You have a lifetime that is a commitment to public service. And you know, that's a huge contrast between me and my opponent. I'm a first generation college student. My family's been in the district for six generations. They're dairy farmers. They worked in the paper industry, which is so foundational to that region. I have fought tooth and nail to have my kids, to become a physician, to become an internationally known physician, and now to be running for this congressional district. It is crazy to me how people can just walk in and decide they're going to buy something like this when someone like me, someone like you, Tom, so many of us who are now stepping up are saying, we're going to turn our history, our legacy of public service into something even bigger and better, because we know that's what the people of Wisconsin need.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask you, the Senate voted on an IVF protection measure, and despite all sorts of blunderbuss nonsense from certain GOP candidates that, of course, they want to protect IVF, that vote in the Senate failed. It failed on party lines with every single Republican voting against it, except for two, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, both who support reproductive freedom. Dr. Lierley, draw the contrast between you and your opponent when it comes to reproductive freedom and especially IVF.
Well, could you hear my eyes roll?
I think I did, actually. I heard it.
Yes.
I know they have been all over the place. I mean, you hear Donald Trump in Wisconsin talking about he's going to mandate coverage for IVF. And then a week later, just like a few weeks before, the Republicans unequivocally vote down IVF. It is just unbelievable the lack of consistency in that party. And the thing that gets me the most as an OBGYN doctor who has dedicated my life to taking care of my patients and helping them grow their families, this is not flippant for them. This is a huge part of who they are and what they need. You have to be consistent about your messaging on this issue. And if you truly believe in families, in women, in babies, then you support IVF. And if you don't support IVF, like all the Republican senators, except for those two, then you don't support IVF.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just that simple. Folks, if you live in the 8th Congressional District, I suggest You ask Dr. Lyerly's opponent exactly if he would vote to protect IVF if elected to Congress, if he would vote to enshrine reproductive freedoms if he was elected to Congress, if he would vote for billionaires to pay their fair share, if he would vote for the richest corporations to pay their fair share, would he support a child tax credit, right? Like, there are so many things that are so essential to Wisconsin families, and I struggle to think of one that actually lines up with what Wisconsin voters in this 8th CD would want that actually are supported by your opponent and his party.
Well, and we don't really know much about specific stances on things like IVF, because whenever my opponent is asked about reproductive health, he like nervously says, give it to the states. And that's about as far as he gets. So we need to know these answers. So yes, you're right, Maggie. I really do encourage people to ask these specific questions. And, you know, fortunately, we're having a debate. So on September 29th, a week from tomorrow, we're going to be getting together at the Mothi Center at UWGB. It's going to be on WBAY. We're going to be streaming it. It's going to be everywhere. And this is going to be the opportunity for people in the 8th CD to know, where does Tony Weed stand on corporate handouts? Where does he stand on solving the housing crisis? Where does he stand on helping regular people put food on their table? He says that he understands that people struggle to put gas in their car, yet he was on a board that advocated to raise gas prices. Yeah. So his actions speak very loudly. We're not yet hearing a lot of his words.
Yeah, I was really excited to see the announcement of the debate. It remains, I think, in congressional races and in local races, debates actually have meaning, have something to say, especially when you've got a guy who's never done anything except cash the checks that his family set him up to cash for the entirety of his life, taking year-long vacations. What the heck do you know about the middle class? You were born into the elite class. When we talk about elites, we're talking about your opponent. I keep telling people, elites aren't Democrats or Republicans. Elites are the rich people. Those are the elites, the people that don't actually have to work for paychecks anymore. What are you hoping is asked clearly at the debate, Dr. Lyerly?
I want him to be able to explain his position on abortion, on reproductive health, on IVF. That is something where he truly cannot enunciate how he feels about it. I think that's really important. But also corporate handouts, that is a huge thing. And what are his actual plans for easing the economic woes of the people of Northeast Wisconsin? 60% of folks in this country are living paycheck to paycheck, not my opponent, but most people. And one of the biggest problems that they have is paying for their healthcare, accessing healthcare. I want to know, where does he stand on healthcare? How are we going to fix this healthcare crisis that disproportionately affects people in rural areas? So much of our district is rural. So many people are suffering, older people, people who are vulnerable. They deserve better. They deserve better.
And yeah, he deserves. Go ahead, Tom.
And I would say one thing that would be really important to try to draw out of him is, why is he running? Like, why now? Is this just a badge? It's time to buy a seat in Congress type situation? Or what thing does he feel truly passionate about that he's there to solve that's hard for anyone else to do? Because my guess is he will not have an answer for that.
Yeah, the answer that I've heard so far is that he took that year-long vacation and then he heard that Mike Gallagher was leaving and he said, oh, I've always wanted to do public service. I mean, really, that's the answer.
That's astounding. Yeah. Kudos to you, though, for getting a debate, because it was very difficult in the 5th CD to get anybody to respond. And I think it's just part of democracy, right? There should be two people who are explaining their positions to your constituents and giving them a true choice so that people know where you stand. So I think it's awesome to see that it's actually happening.
Yeah, one other I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, one other area that I hope the moderators, and if you have a chance to put the screws to your opponent, Dr. Lyerly, ask him about preservation of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, because this is what the leader of his party has said about that. Let's take a listener.
One last question.
Go ahead.
entitlements ever be on your plate?
At some point they will be. We have tremendous growth. We're going to have tremendous growth this next year. It'll be toward the end of the year. The growth is going to be incredible. And at the right time, we will take a look at that. You know, that's actually the easiest of all things, if you look, because it's such a big
percentage.
To do
some of
If you don't cut something in entitlements, you'll never really deal with the debt.
Oh, we'll be cutting, but we're also going to have growth like you've never had before.
You changed your outlook on how to handle entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Mr. President. It seems like something has to be done, or else we're going to be stuck at 120% of debt to GDP forever.
So first of all, there is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting and...
Yes, cutting Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. That's what the leader of the GOP has said. That's what Ron Johnson has said. I want to know what your opponent has to say about that, because... what?
I can tell you what the people in the district are saying. They're saying, hey, I paid into Social Security my whole life, because I need that to be there for me. So cutting benefits or extending the age to which you start receiving your benefits is not a satisfactory answer to these people who did everything they were told to do. But to Donald Trump, you know, you heard him say, well, there will be growth. Remind me again how many times he has been bankrupt. Based on his projections. Yes. You know, even when the tax cut that he gave in 2017, we knew that that created a budget deficit. But what was his answer? There will be growth to make up the deficit. No, that is not fiscally conservative. That's not even fiscally responsible. There was not growth. And now we have an even worse deficit for no reason.
Yeah, to give billionaires and millionaires like your opponent an enormous tax cut and try to frankly, get one over on the rest of us by, oh, yes, American households, middle-class households, got on average a $60 reduction in their tax bills.
Right.
While people with a net worth of over $1 million due to the Trump tax cuts saw their average tax bill go down by $60,000. $60 versus $60,000, that was the shell game, the wool over all of our eyes. It is not a tax cut for the middle class. It is a giveaway to the rich and the richer. Tom, you ran for Congress twice. I wanted to give you the opportunity to have a moment with Dr. Lyerly. Any sage advice for the good doctor?
Well, we were actually talking a little bit before. Hire good people, which you've already done, and because it's essential. And then be yourself, because the voters understand if you're not being yourself. And get out there like you're already doing. And I'm thrilled that you're having a debate, because, you know, putting it up and showing the passion that you have compared to the why he's running, you know, because that tax cut sounded like it did a good job or it went a long way to allowing him to have a year-long vacation. So probably was the funding for it. But, you know, I wish you all the luck, and you're not really going to need it because you're very articulate. But I think the biggest thing is to draw him out and put him on record for the things that people are going to go, that just doesn't make sense for the rest of us.
It's weird, right? There's some weirdness happening.
Yes.
Folks, my very special guest this segment, thank you so much, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, candidate for the 8th Congressional District. And guess what, everybody? Since it is the year of the woman, I will be joined every Thursday at 3:30 by Dr. Lyerly, because these issues are so very important. Briefly, Dr. Lyerly, where can people find out more about your campaign and your positions on the issues?
KristenForWisconsin.com is our website, and then Kristen for Wisconsin on all the socials. And let us know what you want to talk about, because this campaign is a movement and it's for the people. That's you.
Awesome.
I love it. Thanks so much, Dr. Lyerly. We'll see you back here next Thursday at 3:30, every Thursday until the biggest election in the year of the woman. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tom Paulsiewicz and I, one of the most reasonable men in politics, talk about the Teamsters when we come back. What's going on there? I don't get it. Donald Trump is not a fan of the working man and woman, not a fan of organized laborers. We talk about it next with Tom Paulsiewicz here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated. It is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police?
Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy. University of Chicago professor Harold Pollack said that the best financial advice for most people would fit on an index card. I'm going to fit his index card into your Work Money Minute. Here we go. Max out your 401k or other employee contribution. Buy inexpensive, well-diversified mutual funds. Never buy or sell an individual security. The person on the other side of the table knows more than you do. Save 20% of your income. Pay your credit card balance in full every month. Maximize tax-advantaged savings vehicles like Roth, SEP, and 529 accounts. Pay attention to fees. Avoid actively managed funds. Make financial advisors commit to the fiduciary standard. And lastly, promote social insurance programs to help folks when things go wrong. That's it. For more tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Get your phones ready, everybody, because in the 4 o'clock hour, my little buddy and your friend, Dom Salvia, is going to be dropping the secret word of the hour in Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. So in the 4 o'clock hour, you got to go get that app. When Dom gives you the word in the 4 o'clock hour, you're going to text using the app. That's going to enter you to win either $100 or some gold jewelry, which we give away in the hour. And it's going to get you entered to win a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the old green and gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Don't miss it. That contest happening every day of the week, weekdays, Monday through Friday, this week in the 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours. We're going to continue this contest through next week. Don't miss out, everybody. But we've still got some more time with my good friend and yours, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics. And I'm hoping, Tom, that your reasonableness can help me get my head around what the hell is going on with the Teamsters report saying that somewhere north of 60% of Teamsters are pro-Trump at this point. I can't make heads or tails. I actually can. Yesterday I said it's a result of people feeling screwed and not getting a fair shake at things, feeling like they're not getting ahead, which is not logically a vote for Donald Trump, who's just going to have more tax giveaways to his billionaire buddies. It's a vote for Kamala Harris to help fix all of this mess. What's your instinct on what's going on here, Tom?
You know, when I ran, I went in front of the unions and had conversations, and I could tell that there was this beginning of union members questioning whether Democrats were really helping them or not. And I had a hard time wrapping my head around it then, and I have a harder time now. Because all else held equal, Republicans have said over and over again, they want to kill unions. Because unions get in the way of more profits. And so, to me, and we were talking a little bit about this before, is it's a failure of leadership to help the actual union members understand what benefits they get by being part of the union. Because they're so scared about people not wanting to be part of the union that they're glossing these things over instead of hitting it head on. And it just... it boggles my mind that you can have a, because it's Sean O'Brien, right? The leader of the Teamsters. It just boggles my mind that he hasn't taken the time to help educate his people to be able to say, look, here's what the Biden-Harris administration has actually done. They saved a whole bunch of different pensions through one of the bills they had passed, and that would not have happened under Republicans.
Hell no, there's no way Trump is shoring up union pensions.
Right.
Are you flipping kidding me? This guy has been stiffing contractors since the first time he gets a shot call about whether or not to pay the people he hired to do work on his glitzy hotels and casinos. I mean, that is the track record here. It's just a failure of leadership. I think failure for people to take seriously their own interests.
Yes.
Like if you feel, if you're a union member or if you're just a regular middle class folk and you're feeling, you know, persuaded by the Trump Vance lie machine, care enough about your own self-interest to diligence what they're saying. When they say a tax cut, who actually reaps the greatest benefit of that? Is it you? Or is the tax cut designed to just help billionaires and the richest corporations and eventually to defund Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and bankrupt the middle class?
Exactly. Or I've been persuaded enough to think that immigration is a far bigger issue than my pension. And that I'm gonna vote for someone who's going to, quote, you know, tackle this issue, which isn't really impacting me anyways, but I'm willing to put my pension at risk for that to happen.
It's a vote against self-interest at a very basic level. Tom, I also wanted to give you a correct to talk about Elon Musk. I feel like Elon's spinning out in a way that is not dissimilar to Donald Trump. He texted this, or not texted, X posted, "Find Taylor Swift, you win. I'll give you a child and guard your cats with my life." Creepy. He texted this, "And no one is even trying to assassinate Biden or Kamala." He texted a debunked allegation that there was some bomb found outside of a Trump rally in Long Island. New York officials and law enforcement saying that was false. It was knowably false at the time. There was absolutely nothing behind it. This guy is a threat to democracy.
Yes.
He controls what you see and read, and he's totally crazy. What is going on with this Trump-Musk love fest?
Well, first off, if you and I tweet what he tweets, the Secret Service would be knocking at our door.
Absolutely.
And second off, this is a direct offshoot of the Supreme Court decision about immunity granted to presidents, which then carries over to anybody in their sphere of influence.
Yep.
And but this is the direction that we would be heading under a Trump presidency, where people like Elon Musk would have far more influence on what's happening and to the detriment of the rest of us.
Yeah, it comes full circle. Our discussion with Dr. Sandoval, our discussion with Dr. Lyerly, and all this is about a guy who's got access to a presidential candidate. They're both off their rockers. And if anybody thinks that Elon Musk or Donald Trump knows what it's like to buy a gallon of milk when it's more expensive, or to go in and look at what a pound of butter costs and go, oh my gosh. These are the guys that actually engage in the price gouging and the exploitation of workers that makes inflation happen.
Yes. And Elon Musk, his businesses are a direct result of government influence and money to help prop him up and keep him going. It's crazy to think that he doesn't understand that. And one of the reasons he's successful is because the rest of us loaned him money.
Yeah. It's just weird. They're all weird. Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz. He's with me every Thursday as a special guest co-host. Thanks so much, Tom. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Maggie Dawn. This was the Thursday edition of The Maggie Dawn Show. Dom Salvia is up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Real love.
This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's Thursday, so we make our popcorn pick of the week, and David Desimone, director of the Black Point Estate in Lake Geneva, joins the show to talk about Victorian spiritualism.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.